suicide is such a stigmatized, swept under the carpet problem in our country.
Dr. Carl Benzio is a Christian psychiatrist and director of the Lighthouse Network in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, a resource for those seeking help with life management skills.
It could be the actual number two leading cause of death in our society.
As a nation of 300 million inhabitants, he says the devastating effects of suicide is no respecter of persons.
I think it can happen to anybody. I mean, as we, you know, see stories, you know, post-mortem, so to speak, of people who have committed suicide, you hear the whole gamut. Wow, they were such an outgoing kid. They were captain of the football team, did well in school, and, you know, it's unbelievable that I would hear that this person killed himself, or they were a coach of a college team and had a lot of friends and interacted with a lot of people and would never have thought that that could happen. Or you see the flip side. Well, they were always isolative, shy, kept to themselves, didn't have many contacts or supports. So I think it can come in the whole gamut.
In fact, Kristen Jane Anderson was only 19 when she nearly lost her life to attempted suicide. Growing up in what she believed to be a Christian home at the time, Kristen says, on the surface, her world looked pretty good.
I was never abused as a child. There wasn't a lot of tragedy or anything in my life growing up. It was very carefree, as I like to say.
She says that all changed one day.
I got into like junior high and stuff. I started realizing that the world wasn't as great as I thought it was, and people weren't as genuine as I thought them to be. And I started to search a little bit for what life was all about.
However, that search for meaning was diverted by a pursuit to find happiness in friends, family, and material possessions. She says the pursuit always left her feeling empty, but was suddenly magnified when tragedy struck, not once, but many times over.
I lost 4 friends and a grandmother within about a year and a half, and I was also raped.
That, coupled with relationship pressures from male friends, Kristen reports being frequently ill due to stress in her life.
I was the girl that everybody went to with their problems, but I never talked to anybody about mine, so I kept everything inside. And that's one of the reasons that I started getting sick. And when all those bad things happened, all those people were dying and I was raped, it was over a year and a half, and it was just one after the other, and I felt like things were only getting worse, so they would never get better.
She says as the pain continued to grow subtly and annoyingly to those around her,
I fell into some sort of a depression that I actually didn't realize I was in, and nobody else knew I was in, because I always had a smile on my face. And I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pretend like it was okay. But I was just really lost and didn't understand.
Her depression began to manifest itself through outward expressions of grief, anger, and suicidal thoughts.
I started saying things like, life sucks all the time. And I started, people would ask me how I was doing, and I would say things like, I'm here. Like, isn't that good enough? I remembered this thought process I had about how I would take my life, and I started to contemplate it seriously at that time. It was a very impulsive thing.
Psychologist Dr. Benzio says people in Kristen's mental state often feel trapped and unable to respond to life properly.
The only way they know to relieve themselves of the pain is to kill themselves. So if they had choices to relieve the pain and live and to relieve the pain and die, I think they would all choose to relieve the pain and live. But they don't really see that in living there is any way for the pain to ever go away or to be relieved. And so to finally be relieved of the pain permanently, they decide to kill themselves, or that becomes the most significant option available to them.
Kristen says, remembering how one of her 4 friends had committed suicide that year, she wondered how she might end her own life.
And I went through a lot of different things in my mind, and none of them seemed good enough. And right at that moment, a train went by. It kind of clicked in my head, that's one way I could never live through it.
With her mind made up, Kristen made her way toward the train tracks near her home. But before she laid on the tracks, she says a spiritual battle began to take place in her mind that she didn't recognize or understand.
God was telling me that it was going to get better, and, you know, there was a point to my life, and Satan was pretty much telling me that it wasn't going to get better, that I didn't need to be here, I should just give up, it's not worth it, you know, I didn't need to fight anymore, and really I didn't feel like I had anything left in me to fight anymore.
As the train approached, Kristen lay down across the track, and that's when everything around her came crashing down.
When I looked behind me to my right, I saw my legs about 10 feet behind me to my right. And I always tell people that I knew they were my legs because I had these bright white tennis shoes on that I had just gotten for Christmas. And that was pretty surreal. I felt like I was having a nightmare. I couldn't really believe that that was a reality yet, so I still didn't know what to think.
Not certain if she was alive or dead, Kristen cried out in pain. She would later learn that some 30 freight trains had run over her legs at 55 miles an hour. Conscious throughout the entire ordeal, Kristen says she remembers an unusual thing taking place.
I started to calm down, and this tremendous peace came over me. I thought I was dying. I thought, like, oh, I've lost enough blood now, and now I'm finally dying. But then the song Amazing Grace started playing over and over and over in my head. And I didn't understand it then, but it brought me tons of peace. And that was the first time that I think my eyes were really opened to God showing himself to me and really reaching out to me.
Not long after, the train's conductor alerted emergency officials to Kristen's plight and airlifted her to a hospital. She had lost both legs in the tragedy, but miraculously survived. God was now working in her life, she says. She began to realize she was not a believer in Christ before the incident as she had believed.
I thought that I was. Me and my whole family thought that we were, but I never really heard the gospel. I never knew that I needed to make a choice and surrender my life to Christ or accept him as the leader of my life and the forgiver of my sins. Like, I just thought that Jesus died for the sins of the world and we were all forgiven and we would all go to heaven. Like, I didn't know that I had to make any kind of a decision or a choice. So I thought I was a Christian because I believed in God and I believed Jesus was the Son of God, but I didn't ever give my life to him. I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him.
News of this relationship would come through friends who took her through scripture, showing her the person and work of Jesus Christ. Dr. Carl Benzio acknowledges Christian's experience as part of a battle being waged in the heavenlies.
I think it's just a reflection of the spiritual warfare and the deception that our society has perpetrated on people.
For Kristen, God used her pain to reveal himself in a way she'd never known.
God is real, and if you live like he is real, he will transform your life. My problem as a child was that I believed that God was real, but I didn't live like he was real, and I didn't give my life to him. So once I gave my life to him and I started a relationship with him and I started living like he was real, so much transformation came into my life. I'm like a completely different person now, and I've never had more joy or more peace or more motivation or purpose in life.
Today, Kristen is serving Christ through an outreach to adult women and teens called Reaching You Ministries, which you can learn more about at our website. For Primetime America, I'm Tracy Haney.